Hey, welcome back, everybody, again to New Life Church Online. I want to welcome all of you. Thank you for worshiping with us together in this way today. Now, New Life Church, we have begun to have our regular in-person gatherings this weekend, but we are wanting to follow all of the guidelines that have been recommended to churches to do that, because we, at New Life, we want to be a part of the solution and not part of the problem for the spread of COVID-19. And so we just ask, we recommend that if you're 65 or older, that you stay home. If you're sick, you stay at home. If you think you're vulnerable to this, then we ask that you stay home, and there's no pressure to come, but we are going to continue to put our services online for you. And so we welcome you today again. And I want to remind you that you can continue to worship with us by way of giving. And so thank you for your generosity. Of course, you can always go online and give at newlifeforkokomo.org. Or you can send your tithe or your missions giving, your offering in the mail to 1803 East Vail Avenue here in Kokomo, Indiana. Or you can simply text the word New Life for Kokomo to the number 77977. So thank you, thank you, thank you for your generosity. And hey, I tell you what, if you're tuning in today and for the very first time, you're taking a peek through the window, you're seeing our church, I just encourage you, hey, would you text this number, text the word connect to 765-347-9127, and we will send you just a digital card that you can fill out to tell us a little bit about you, and we can tell you a little about some of the next steps that you can take here at New Life Church. Well, today we're going to continue our series called One Another. We are looking at the different one another statements in Scripture because they have something to say about how we relate to one another. And so far in our series, we have gone over some of these statements we found in Scripture. First week, we talked about how to love one another, and that love is the evidence of a life being that has been transformed by the love of God. And then we talked about encouraging one another. And really, it was about that you can encourage those around you to the point that you put courage inside of them until courage begins to come out of their life. And then a few weeks ago, we talked about judging one another. And you can always go on our website, newlifeforkokomo.org. Check out our sermon archive. I encourage you, if you're not caught up in this series, get caught up in this series. But man, if you can listen and check out the message, judging one another, I know I listened to it multiple times, it will fire you up. And then last week we talked about being devoted to one another. And devotion takes regularity, persistence, and loyalty. But today we're going to continue with the one another statement that is found in Scripture, which is forgive one another. Forgiveness is, I think, a really, really big topic in the Christian faith. I think forgiveness is something that most people have struggled with at some point in their life, but forgiveness is something that every single person needs. Everybody needs it. Everybody wants it. But sometimes it's hard to give away. Let's look at our scripture where we find this forgive one another statement. In Colossians 3:12, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Hey, listen, you have to put your clothes on every day. Every day. And in this faith walk, in this life with Jesus, put your clothes on. Get compassion. Get kindness, get humility, gentleness, and patience, and put it on. Put it on, please, for the love of God, would you put your clothes on every day. And the 13th verse says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive. It's not done yet. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. This last sentence is huge. To forgive as the Lord forgave you. So we'll talk about how the Lord has forgiven you, and it will be an illustration for then how you are to forgive other people. I'm going to ask you three questions today in this topic of forgiveness. Three questions. The first question I'm going to ask you is, how does unforgiveness affect you? How does unforgiveness affect you? Well, in the book, An Invitation to Healing, the author, Linda Elliott, she wrote this about unforgiveness in her life. She said that when she was in her 20s, she said, "I was badly hurt by a neighbor. And for months, I replayed the hurtful scene in my mind. And I even was talking about it with a friend. As I expressed my feelings over and over, my pain became deeper and more invasive. And this pain, this unforgiveness, was becoming a part of me." So one day, as Linda relived this hurtful scene all over again with her friend looked at her and asked her this question. She said, now listen closely, "Do you know we become like the people we think about most? Do you know we become like the people we think about the most?" And Linda says the Lord used that question as a wake-up call. And she says that I had a choice to make. I could choose to behold Jesus and focus on him, and I could be transformed into his image. Likewise, I could continue to behold the image of the person who hurt me, and I could be transformed into their image. And she says, and in fact, that was already happening. Many times, the person that has hurt us the most, we don't like this, but we actually begin to be just like them. And that's the thing about unforgiveness. How does unforgiveness affect you? You begin to replay it over and over in your mind. It becomes all you can talk about. I mean, you'll tell any listening ear about the offense that was caused you. You'll tell anybody around you the hurt that you have because you're replaying it in your mind over and over. It's coming out of you. And then all of a sudden, you start to see things manifesting in your behaviors. I want you to take a look at this illustration with me. Consider that when a seed is planted in the soil, the seed will then receive nutrients and it will be watered when it remains in that soil. And then it will begin to produce a root system to continue to be fed. And then eventually that seed will grow and it will begin to sprout out of the ground. And this is a perfect illustration for unforgiveness in our lives. Because look at this. The seed that was originally planted in you is the seed of offense. That somebody did something. And listen, I know they were wrong. And I know it even hurt. But when that offense is planted like a seed in your heart, it begins to develop a root system. This root system is unforgiveness. And now all of a sudden, offense is now rooted in you in unforgiveness. But watch this, as it begins to sprout, what is seen on the surface is how it affects your behaviors. So the root of unforgiveness, which came from the seed of an offense, will manifest itself in anger. It will manifest itself in jealousy, in fits of rage, being envious. All of these behaviors will begin to surface. And if you don't look deep enough, you'll think, well, I just have an anger problem. I'm just kind of a temperamental person. Or that person is just jealous, envious, has fits of rage. And you can trim this weed off as many times as you want. But like my dad told me when we were pulling weeds in the garden, he said, son, if you don't get the root, the weed comes back. And many times we're trying to medicate a surface level problem when there is a root cause of unforgiveness in our hearts. So when it comes to unforgiveness, when we see these manifested behaviors, it is just a sign of a deeper issue, and it's deep in the ground, it's deep in your heart, that there was an offense that became rooted in unforgiveness, and it's being manifest in your behaviors. So although you may think you got your anger settled for a while, you may think that you've got jealousy settled for a while, or you've not had a fit of rage in a while, all of a sudden it will continue to cycle through your life because there's still a root of unforgiveness in your heart. So you have got to get a hold of that thing and uproot that offense, uproot the unforgiveness. And then the cycle and the pattern of behaviors can be eliminated. So how does unforgiveness affect you? It will manifest in cycles, patterns of behavior that is rooted in unforgiveness and resentment. Unforgiveness and resentment is a dangerous thing to have in the garden of your heart. So that's how unforgiveness can affect you. The second question I want to ask you this is, how important is forgiveness? Like, really, how important is it? Like, because maybe you think you're satisfied living in the cycle that you're in, and maybe it's not all that bad because you just can't imagine being able to forgive somebody of the offense that they caused you. Now, here's what I know. I know that when someone causes an offense against you, I'm not here to tell you to deny the fact that it hurt, because I already know that it really hurts. And I know that sometimes the idea of forgiving somebody seems wrong because you're afraid that that person is going to not receive justice for what they did. You're afraid that if I just forgive them, then what do they get for what they did? I'm not going to forgive them. You're expecting to see some type of change. You want to see justice for the person that offended you. But that is not how forgiveness works. You see, when Jesus forgave you, he forgave you instead of giving you justice. He chose to give you mercy. And when you choose to give people mercy instead of trying to give them justice with this rooted unforgiveness, it will actually pave the way for God to deal with that person. God will deal with that person. Your only responsibility is to find it in you to forgive. So how important is forgiveness? Let's look at the words of Jesus in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, or in verse 14, and it says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins," look, "your Father will not forgive your sins." So how important is forgiveness? Really, really important. Because if you can't forgive others, then how can the Lord forgive you? If you don't believe it yet, let me show you another verse. In James chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful." Mercy always triumphs over judgment. So if you really want to get back at the person who offended you, if you really want to make sure they get what's coming to them, show them mercy. Because mercy is much better than you trying to give them judgment. It always triumphs over judgment. So how important is forgiveness? Forgiveness is detrimental to your soul. It's detrimental to your soul. How can God forgive me if I can't forgive my offender? It's detrimental. It is so, so important. And the third question I want to ask you today about forgiveness is, how do you forgive? How do you get it done? How do you forgive? Well, the first thing I would say is you must choose it. You have to choose to forgive, because here's what I know. I know that if you wait until you feel like forgiving, you'll never forgive, because you will likely never feel like forgiving. Because remember, it feels unjust to just forgive. It feels like that person deserves something for how they offended you. and how in the world could I forgive them? Many people even literally say, I could never forgive that person for what they did to me. I could never do that. They hurt me too bad. So how do you even begin to forgive? Well, you have to choose it. You'll never feel like doing it, but you have to choose it. And also, not just choosing it when you don't feel like it, but if you want to choose forgiveness, but you're waiting for that person to change first, like, I'll forgive you if, or I'll forgive them when they, if you wait for that person to change, you will likely never forgive. You likely will never do it. Because forgiveness towards one another has nothing to do whether or not that person ever deserves it. It has nothing to do with whether that person will ever change. But here's what I know. If you can choose to forgive, you can be free. You can be free. And that person may remain in the bondage of their own behaviors, and God will deal with them, but you can be free. So serve mercy, and don't try to get judgment. You have to choose. You have to choose it. You won't feel it. You must choose forgiveness. The second thing is you must depend on God. Because here's what I know. When you have a heavy offense that you need to move towards forgiveness, you can't do it on your own. I know that when I've had to forgive people in my life for offenses and things that I have held resentment in my heart for years, I needed the power of the Holy Spirit to guide me and lead me to be able to forgive them. And in doing so, what I learned was, is that all along that hurtful process of forgiving, I wasn't alone. I wasn't alone. I had a comforter, a counselor, a friend. I had the Holy Spirit. So you must depend on God. And I would also say that unless you've experienced the power of forgiveness, it will likely prove difficult for you to forgive. And I would tell you, if you've never experienced the forgiveness and love of God, you can experience that right now today. And when you experience what it's like to have all of your debts canceled, all of your failures forgiven, it will free you so much and give you the power to look at others and forgive them as well. So you have to depend on God. I depend on the fact that God first forgave me. I depend on that so that I can now forgive others. And the third way is this, is when it comes to forgiving, you must follow through. You must follow through. I want to share with you a quote from Joyce Meyer. It's a very, very common quote. And she says this, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and thinking that the other person is going to die. That doesn't make sense, does it? So why hold on to unforgiveness? It's a poison. Unforgiveness, when it's rooted in you, sprouting out and manifesting in behaviors in your life, that unforgiveness, that is a poison in you because you want the other person to be harmed, so you're going to hold on to resentment, but it's going to kill you from the inside out. It's going to torture you. It's a poison. It's a very powerful quote. So how do we forgive? You must follow through. You must follow through with forgiveness. And here's what I mean by that. To follow through with forgiveness, don't pick it back up. Forgive it. Forget it. Don't ever pick it back up. Jesus died for your forgiveness. He also died for the forgiveness of your offender. And Jesus paid a really high price for our forgiveness. He paid for forgiveness with his shed blood. The transaction from your sin to your forgiveness happened on the cross at Calvary. when nails were put through his hands and a spear through his side, Jesus paid with his life so you could be forgiven, your offender could be forgiven. And so when you choose to pick unforgiveness back up, you are taking something Jesus paid for. And if you take that back, you're stealing from God. He bought it. The forgiveness belongs to him. So don't harbor resentment. Don't harbor unforgiveness, something Jesus already paid for. So you must follow through. You got to follow through. You can't pick it back up. You have to forgive it. You have to let it go and trust that God will deal with the rest. But you can be free from the burden of unforgiveness, the poison of unforgiveness. Follow through. And to follow through, the last thing I want to tell you is this, is that you can't follow through with forgiveness if you still gossip about it. Yeah, I said that. Hear that again. You can't follow through with forgiveness and still talk about it with people. You can't go around town, you can't go to all your friends and still whispering about your offender and acting offended, because then you haven't really forgiven them. So to follow through with forgiveness, you gotta stop gossiping about your offender. You gotta stop gossiping about the situation. You've got to let it go and give it to God so that you can be free from the burden, the poison of unforgiveness. How important is it? It's very important. I want to read you the words of Jesus when it comes to unforgiveness from Matthew chapter 18, a powerful story that speaks to you and it speaks to me. It's a good reminder of forgiveness. It's a good reminder of that we should forgive others regardless of their offense. In the 21st verse, it says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me?' And then he asked the question, 'Up to 7 times? As if he thought he was exaggerating the number of times. Of course, Jesus responds, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. In other words, you never stop forgiving. You always forgive, Peter. And then Jesus answered him, and he told him this parable. He said, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like a king who decided to settle his accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him." 10,000 bags of gold was equivalent to 200,000 years of a day laborer's wages. So this parable already, it's almost humorous, the amount of debt this guy owed his master. 200,000 years worth of day's wages. In other words, a lifetime could never, ever repay the debt that he had to his master. And so since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children all be sold to repay the debt. And at this, the servant fell on his knees before him. And he said, "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything," which is funny, because he never could. The servant's master looked on him with pity and canceled his debt. Canceled a 200,000 year wages worth of debt. Canceled it, and he let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins, which is equal to 100 days worth of wages. So he's owed 100 days worth of wages by a fellow servant, but he was just canceled 200,000 years worth of wages. So his fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, I'll pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay back his 100 pieces of silver. And when the other servants saw what happened, obviously the other servants were outraged. And they went to their master and told him everything that happened. And then the master called the servant in and he said, "You wicked, wicked person. I canceled all of your debt, all of yours, because you begged me to. And shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant like I had on you?" And in his anger, the master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all he owed. But remember, in his lifetime, he could never pay it all back. So in other words, how long would this man have been tortured for the rest of his life until he paid back a debt he would never be able to pay back? And verse 35 says, "This is how my Father in heaven will treat you unless you forgive your brother and sister in your heart." So forgiveness is a really, really big deal. And in this story, what we know is that forgiveness, one, you need it. You have a debt. I had a debt that I would never be able to repay in my lifetime. I would never be able to do enough work to repay such a large debt. I would never have the ability in all of the years of my life to recover from that weight of a debt. And the debt that you and I owe, it is the debt of the sin in our lives. The mistakes we've made, we're imperfect. We have this debt. We'll never be able to be good enough to outweigh the evil that was in our hearts. So you need this kind of forgiveness. This kind of forgiveness can only come through Jesus. Only Jesus lived the perfect life you and I couldn't live. But then he chose to pay the punishment that you deserve, that I deserved, in order that I could be free. And you can be free. And you can receive that by faith today. And you can be forgiven of all of your failures, all of your faults. You can be forgiven simply by just coming to him in faith and believing. But in turn, my Christian brothers and sisters, we have to forgive one another. Because if you were forgiven a debt so big, nobody owes you anything. Nobody owes you anything. Consider the height from which you have fallen. Consider the pit in which God rescued you from. And consider forgiving others, because it is pocket change compared to the debt you and I used to carry. Let me pray for you today. Heavenly Father, I pray for every person that's viewing this. Lord, I pray for the person that right now, today, needs that kind of forgiveness from you. Maybe they've not experienced the love of God or the forgiveness of God, or not in a long time. But God, right now, they can come to you and simply ask you for this forgiveness, dedicating themselves to you. But then, Father, I pray that as believers, as followers of you, that we would be dedicated to forgiving one another. And as you pray, somebody listening to this today, there is somebody in mind right now. There's a weightiness on your heart, and you know that you have got to forgive this person. And it's been weighing on you for years and years and years, but it is time to put it down. It's time to stop drinking from the bottle of poison. It's time to stop seeking justice, and it's time to give mercy and let God deal with them. So today, Father, we forgive every offense. We want to forgive frequently. We want to forgive quickly today. And we thank you, God, that you have given us forgiveness. You've wiped our slate clean, and we want to pass forgiveness on to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, New Life, thank you so much for joining us today. If you have any prayer requests or would like to know more about who we are, you can text CONNECT to 765-347-9127. And if you'd like to continue your worship through giving, you can give online at newlifeforkokomo.org/give. You can send it through the mail, or you can text the word New Life for Kokomo to the number 77977. Thank you so much. We are praying for you, and we hope you have a fantastic week.